Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply moved that you are listening to me on this now called podcast for December 12th, 2021. And we're going to be looking at a very touchy little subject that most people just rationalize down to the worst degree of themselves and theorize and miss what is really going on, and that is in the word give. Ooh, that one's a hurdy. We can think in terms of paying, but never really giving. And that has a lot to do with our genetic heritage, our DNA, the way our body functions and works. There's a lot to this ideal of what we think of as giving. We don't mind paying. Well, we don't. It depends on what we're paying for. But we do mind giving. And that giving is a huge thing and has to be inducted through a lot of emotionality and fear. The idea of being better than, the emotions of fear, the emotions of I'm doing this because I'm going to be a better person, or God's going to give me something I want, something in that order. And that's basically the way we conduct and live our life in that premise. So what I want to kind of do here this morning on this show is talk a little bit about what it means to give and truly give, not give because we are told to or that it's traditional. Every year, I have, certain periods of time, year-end donations, and oftentimes on my birthday, where people give. And it's usually something that is done out of tradition. And it's hard for people to muster up the whole idea of giving because they think, well, what is this guy, Greg, done for me? I mean, do I believe in his philosophy? That kind of thing. That's the way people think. And of course, I don't go with all of that. That's not my mode of operandi. When you're really in a modality of awakening, seeking to awaken, you come to a certain place where giving is very important. And there are two forms of giving, the first being the most important, and that is forgiving. And the second being that of, because of my forgiving, of giving. Just giving for no reason at all, particularly. You give kindness, you give respect, you give money at times, donations. You give because you can. And a lot of people just can't. So let's go into this a little bit. Maybe I can help you. I just want to say as a preface to all of this, if you're not a forgiver, if you do not see the big reveal of what it means to give and forgive, you will not be able to hear my message at all. And that would be tragic because it has to do with your well-being. First question comes from Taylor in Los Angeles. She had some kind things to say, and she said, what do we get for what we give, Greg? This is a typical question. This was inside of her email to me about, giving and forgiving and what the purpose of life. It was very convoluted kind of email. It had a lot of things in it. None of them kind of connected. But one of the things that did connect was she states in her email she doesn't like giving, and she's very suspicious of it. And then she said, what do I get for my giving? If that is the motive, which it is for most people, for your giving, Taylor, it's not giving. Not at all. And there is that hidden suspicion or disbelief or whatever it is within you that makes you skeptical of giving, not only giving in general, but giving to the person or the entity that you are giving to. And this is the way people are. They miss. This causes all sorts of karma in my life, and it starts to set into motion the way I live with and from my body, which defines the way I go about my daily living and what can happen to me. So I ask you, Taylor, what can happen to you? What are the kind of things that happen? And if you allow your body to circumvent your giving through speculation, fear, suspicion, all sorts of anomalies emotionally where you're suspicious and cynical about giving, that says more about your heart, your human heart, than it does about the process of giving itself. Most people have this ugly, ugly, ugly attitude about giving. And it's because their love has strings attached to it. And when a person loves with strings attached, I love you because, and I love you when you kind of thing, that is when we miss the entire experience of life itself. Now, all of a sudden, everything becomes a matter of speculation. And if I only give to you because, you know, I'm looking for something to happen, to get something back, what kind of person does that make me? What is it that makes me live in such a manner? Well, it gets uglier as time goes on, because I really start to believe in the whole idea that something has to be given to me or owed to me for me to give to you. And the greatest gift I give is forgiveness. That is the ultimate giving. That's the ultimate gift. Because in forgiveness, I free myself from my own speculation and cynicism. I free myself to love. And in that freedom to love, to really authentically love, I awaken to a kindness, a deep, profound kindness that allows me, to feel the essence of a tremendous love. A love that goes beyond the barriers of right and wrong, good and bad. All of this is truly amazing to me, and a lot of people just don't get it. The people who can't give pay. And they pay through, you know, obligation. And that just is such a deep wound. It's the roots of selfishness and pride, vanity and fear, insecurity, emotional, psychological insecurity, low self-esteem kind of thing. So I would ask you, Taylor, what do you depend upon within yourself for people to recognize within you that makes you a Taylor? What do we have to do, or what do we have to see first about your persona, your personality? And then what are we to expect from you as a person? Do we expect the tailor? Or can we have the reveal of something greater than a tailor? Something greater than the persona of you, the ego of you? Can we expect to see compassion, gentleness, kindness? Can we expect that? Probably not. Because before you would give to anyone, you have to be on the receiving end first. And that means that I get mine first and then I give to you. And we admire being suspicious about giving. We admire it. We think it's being clever and smart and all those other ugly things that we pertain to the person who is the great thinker. It's not the way, nor is that a great thinker. And it has nothing to do with the significance of the abiding love that lives within you. There you are, Taylor. I could go on with other things, but I've got someone else here, another question, so please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. This is from Ralph. He does not tell me where he lives, but I was so intrigued by this question. I had given you a radio program on forgiveness, and right after the program, not more than 15 minutes after, I guess he heard it, he said, he wrote this, "Are we always forgiven, Ralph?" I don't know who you think forgives. Do you think it's God? Do you think God looks down at Ralph and Greg and goes, "Oh, look at those two putts. Look what they've been doing. Oh, God. I'll have to forgive them." Do you think that they sit there in their supreme ideal of being like the Wizard of Oz that decides who gets forgiven and who doesn't and all of that? You know what the God of forgiveness is? It is the emperor of all malice within us. It is the human heart. Our human hearts will not forgive us. Our human hearts are looking for reasons to forgive us, purposes to forgive us. They always have to have some reason to forgive, some logical reason. Are we always forgiven? Well, you have to look to your emperor, your human heart, and ask yourself, do I forgive? Can I forgive? And if you try to do it out of human emotion, you will miss. You will make this a very ugly affair because the human heart cannot forgive. It just can't. You may want it to, but it can't because it's cynical. It's analytical. And it has to have reasons and purposes and evidence so it can forgive. How do I know you won't do it again? Now, if it's someone in your family who you gave birth to or were a part of that process, forgiving, well, it's a hopeful thing. Okay, I forgive him. It's my daughter or my husband or my son, something like that. But you wouldn't put up with that with anyone else, just your kin, as I like to say. So there is the issue. Is my forgiveness something that is temporary, conditional, depending upon whatever? And for the most part, that is true. So, Ralph, are you forgiven? Well, that depends on whether or not your human heart is the emperor of all your malice. And I will bet you it is. So, no. Not until you recognize the human heart for what it is, how it acts and reacts, the pain of it, the pain it likes to produce, and the guilt and shame that is necessary for you to give and forgive. That's the big one. I can't change that for you. We go through many, many occurrences in this world and many, many lifetimes in past lives dealing with this kind of aggravated assault, as I like to call it, of my human heart. But as long as you live from that, rather than from the state of your authentic heart, the one we cultivate through meditation, until that occurs, the only thing that can happen is repetition, repetition, repetition. Oh, I'm out of here. Ralph, thank you for your email, and call me if I can help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. We will be back on the air next week. I hope you will join me. If you have any questions you would like me to ask, it's greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.